You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Castro, as well as inaugurating a new building for the French Cultural Center. The visit follows a December announcement that the Obama administration will start to ease restrictions on Cuba. This is USA Headline News.
Hi, I'm America's behavior expert, Scott Farrell, and for the first time, I'm offering you the Marriage Matrix. The system I've used for years to help save marriages is now available to you. The Marriage Matrix can save you expense, personal embarrassment, and may even save your marriage. Let my 20 years of experience go to work for you. If you really want a shot at saving your marriage, get the Marriage Matrix today, and together, let's do this. Call now, 844-HELP-US-0. That's 844-HELP-US-0.
Secretary of State John Kerry will meet tomorrow with his Russian counterpart, according to AP correspondent Peter Leonard.
The Russian state news agency RIA Novosti is reporting that U.S. Secretary of State and John Kerry will meet the Russian foreign minister on Tuesday in the southern Russian resort town of Sochi for talks that should encompass a focus on Ukraine, Syria, Yemen, and Iran.
The unrest in Ukraine continues despite a February ceasefire deal. Part of a New York nuclear plant remains offline as the cleanup of the transformer fluid continues. The plant owner says it could be weeks before Indian Point 3 is reopened. Several thousand gallons of oil spilled into the Hudson after a transformer fire on the non-nuclear side of the plant. The United States is defending its record before the UN's main human rights body, acknowledging concerns over the excessive use of force by law enforcement officials. The U.S. faced the Human Rights Council in Geneva today for the body's second review of its record. The first was in 2010. U.S. Ambassador Keith Harper says he's proud of the country's record, but America never makes claim to being perfect. Justice Department official James Cadogan notes that recent high-profile cases of officers killing unarmed black residents have renewed a debate about even-handed justice. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com and give us a like on Facebook. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
The weather today is isolated showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m. It's going to be partly sunny with a high near 85. South winds around 13 miles an hour and the chance of precipitation is 20%. Tonight, there's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m., then a slight chance of showers after 2 a.m. Patchy fog after 2 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 62. South winds 5 to 8 miles an hour, becoming calm after midnight, and the chance of precipitation is 20%. Tuesday night, it'll be mostly clear with a low around 55. West winds 10 to 14 miles per hour. And Wednesday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 69, with northwest winds 15 to 17 miles an hour. And Wednesday night, it'll be mostly clear with a low around 44. You are listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we are very privileged today to have with us a whole group of women, and all these good-looking women in the thing here, from Good News Home for Women. But I have to say first that this hour is NAMI's hour, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. There is a NAMI chapter in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We don't have any office. We work out of our homes. We have no paid staff. And we try to help people who either have a mental health issue or have someone in their family with a mental health issue. I can't speak. It's all the pretty women in here that's got me all confused here, see. But anyway, we do this by running support groups for families. We teach classes, a 12-week family-to-family class for families who have someone that they know or a loved one who has a mental health issue. And we everything we do is free. So, you know, if you can reach out, you can look online, Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'm thinking that's our thing to go on here. NAMIHunterdon.com. There'll be a list of names, or you can go NAMI New Jersey and look Hunterdon County, and you can find my name and phone number and so on and so forth. But we are very privileged today to have with us four young ladies from the Director of Good News for Women. We start off with Ernestine Winfrey, who is the Executive Director of Good News Home for Women. We have Donna Stefanik, who is on the staff of Good News Home for Women. And we have a current client and a previous client with us today. And we'll call the current client Mary and the former client Marie. Ernestine, let's start with you. What is Good News Home for Women exactly?
Good News Home for Women is a long and short-term residential rehabilitation center for women who want to overcome the life-destroying effects of alcohol and other drug addiction. Some of these women do have co-occurring mental health issues, and we try to address those as well. As a treatment center, we offer a holistic approach to healing of the mind, body, and spirit. This process of recovery and growth is achieved at the home through a comprehensive, non-denominational, but spiritually focused program, and is offered to women that are 18 years of age and older, without regard to race, religion, color, national origin, or their ability to pay.
Okay, how did you get involved in this?
I'm going to make the longest story short. I was working at the VA hospital with veterans.
Okay.
And enjoying that as a clinical pastoral.
Up by Lyons or?
Yes, at Lyons.
Okay.
At Lyons.
And I'm very familiar with Lyons.
Yeah. Was working with the veterans who had HIV/AIDS and who had addiction problems, and I was enjoying myself, feeling I had found my place after having retired from AT&T. And then the Lord called me and said, "You are going to Good News Home." And by a lot of strange things happening, the board called me and asked me to take on the executive directorship, and I've been there for the last 18 years.
Wow.
Yes.
That's awesome. What is the mission for Good Homes? I know you said it's, you know, rehabilitating women who have some cases both mental and alcohol or drug addiction or mm-hmm. but like when it was started, or actually when did it start, I guess is the question.
It started with a vision from Grace Tracy Ginsburg. The story is that she was driving down 523 and she picked up a hitchhiker on the side of the road and was talking about her vision for doing a treatment center for women. She's was an ex Playboy bunny and an alcoholic on her own.
Uh-huh.
And she had went into recovery using the 12 steps and Bible study and wanted to provide that opportunity for other women. And she was sharing this with this hitchhiker who, to this date, is still unidentified. And he said, "Well, if you're looking for some property there's this farm on Bartles Corner Road that's available. Well, she talked to some friends of hers in her Bible study, and they purchased the land and did the renovations. A team of them did the renovations, and Good News Home came into existence in 1987, taking its first three residents.
Wow. That's awesome. How did, well, from the start to present day, has it changed much?
Oh, it's changed quite a bit. We've expanded.
That was a leading question, actually, but, you know.
That was a good leader. Yeah. It started with the three residents, and it has now expanded to 12. We're at our maximum now. We went from having our office and the residential facility all in the white farmhouse that's on Bartles Corner Road across the street from the baseball field, mm-hmm. soccer field, to where the house now provides residence for our clients. And we have office facilities in the barn that has been remodeled to some degree and refurbished. And it now houses the counseling and teaching, and will soon include the administrative staff, which is currently located on Main Street.
All right. Okay. I guess one of my questions is, how do you obtain your clients?
They come from everywhere, Larry, and that is no exaggeration, and it's certainly not anything that I'm, you know, expanding beyond its reality. We've had clients to come from as far as California to hear about, go on the internet, find our programs, and have family or friends to transport them back to New Jersey mm-hmm. to enter into treatment. But for the most part, our people come from the state, from all 21 counties.
Do they get recommended by?
They are recommended by the courts, by their parole officers, by their attorneys, by their pastors, by previous residents. The judge will recommend that they go into treatment versus incarceration. And throughout the system, we have established our credibility, and they will be, you know, recommended to us if they want to have something called a Christian foundation mm-hmm. or something that's spiritually based.
That's pretty awesome. Hey, Donna.
Hey.
It's been quite a few years. It has been a few years since.
Yes, it has.
You know, but Donna and I go back a ways. And what do you do at Good News?
I'm one of the addictions counselors. We have two. I counsel the women. We teach classes on things like cognitive behavioral therapy, so
okay.
you can change.
CIT.
Yeah, so you can change your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We do things like life skills. We teach them how to try to maintain a sober living situation when they leave the Good News Home. We try to give them this. We call them tools in their toolbox, so that
right.
when they leave, they have a way to maintain what we've given them. We also teach them Christian based 12-step mm-hmm. recovery. We're the only Christian-based recovery program in the state of New Jersey.
Wow.
So,
no room.
Yeah. yeah. So if they're
Pretty
looking
awesome.
For something other than just the regular 12-step AANA kind of work,
right.
They can come to us. We believe that the first three steps are spiritually based, so we try to give them a strong foundation in their first three steps with their relationship with who we call God in our program, so that they have something to build on when they do the rest of their step work when they leave the Good News
mm-hmm.
Home.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get involved in this? Because I don't remember you doing this one. We knew each other back then.
No. When we were, it was a calling by God who just said one day, you need to go back to school. And I said, really, Lord? I don't have money. I was unemployed at the time. And I went back to school for a master's degree in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started to work for the Christian bookstore that's on Main Street.
Right, right.
And through that relationship, I ended up knowing Ernestine, and I've been with the Good News Home for the last 3 years now.
That's awesome. Now, when you say you have a the 12, 12-step program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm aware of 12-step with AA and NA and such, but you say yours is a little different, the first three steps.
Well, the first three steps on AA and NA is spiritually based. You admitted you were powerless, that your life had become unmanageable, and that there was something greater than yourself that could restore you to sanity. That's all spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to help our women really focus in on who that spiritual being is so that they have something to rely upon. So we do some work with them on developing a relationship with God.
Okay. It's just, you know, I find it just fascinating, really, you know, because when, I mean, obviously, as you probably know, I've dealt a lot over the years. My son, it's been 18 years now, but he is schizophrenic. He attempted suicide twice. He was hospitalized for a little less than 3 years continuously. And when he got out, he was in and out of the hospital more times than I care to remember or count even. And through that time and working with NAMI and so on and so forth, I found that there's a lot of people that have a mental health issue that use drugs or alcohol to self-medicate, mm-hmm. because the drugs and alcohol lessen the pain in their head, you know, or lessen the voices if it's schizophrenia like my son, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. And I know that, like NA and NA and AA, they're awesome, you know, things if you can get somebody to continue doing it, you know. Unfortunately, I know a lot of people who start out and then have setbacks, you know. And I'm sure you have the same thing, I would think.
Yes.
You know. Now, what happens if you have somebody with a setback? What do you do?
Well, we work with them. That's one of the things. excuse me. When what we call aftercare, we offer the women the opportunity to stay in touch, and they usually do. We try to connect them up with sponsors and with people who can help them. And if they relapse and they really need to be back into retreatments, we will consider that or refer them on to a program that maybe meet their needs.
Okay.
More so. But I wanted to address the thing that you said about the use of drugs and the AA, NA. Their principle is that you don't take anything. If you're in recovery, you're not supposed to take medication. Well, we don't believe in that. I have this saying that sometimes it takes a pill and a prayer, and there's a higher power. So you have to be able to integrate the three of them together,
right.
And that's our focus, is that if it's needed, then you will have mental health you will have the assistance of the pill.
Right.
That if you need that in order to maintain or to attain
mm-hmm.
recovery.
Right, right. Well, that makes sense, actually, because, pardon me, you can't just say, okay, you're gonna stop taking alcohol, but now you still got
depression.
The problem, you know,
yeah.
with depression or mm-hmm. bipolar or mm-hmm. schizophrenia, so
exactly.
you're gonna have to take something to help that.
Exactly.
You know, so I agree 100% that, you know, it makes sense. And unfortunately, in some cases, people don't want to take it, you know, and they refuse to take it or they stop taking it. As soon as they get out of the hospital, I feel fine and, you know, that's it. Well, unfortunately, their cognitive thinking doesn't realize that the reason they're feeling fine is because they're taking the medication.
Right,
you
exactly.
know, so, and we all, you know, as you were saying, we teach a family-to-family class, and my wife and I are in the middle of it. And one of the things I always do is when people talk about their loved ones stopping the medication, I'd often say, well, how many have gone to the doctor for the flu? Raise your hand. You know, everybody raise their hand. Okay. How many of you got a antibiotic from the doctor and said, take it for 10 days? Okay. Everybody raise their hand. How many of you have taken it for 10 days? Raise your hand. And out of maybe 20 people in the class, 5 raise their hand.
Right.
You know.
If you get that many.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they're lying or not, but, you know, but it's about that, you know. And I know myself. Well, the last time, just recently, I had I was about yay step to pneumonia, and they gave me, you know, a severe antibiotic. And the doctor, she was a woman, she says, "You take it every day, you know, till it's gone." She says, "Or you're going to be in a hospital with pneumonia," you know. And I says, "No, it's not happening." So I took it, you know, but it happens. I do it too. You know, you feel better. Everything's gone. Your headache's gone, whatever the case may be. And, you know, you're over. But, you know, it's not with this. You know, it's...
And the thing is that you and your wife are working with the element that needs to be worked with, and that's the family. Because sometimes it's the family and their denial of the mental illness.
Absolutely.
Or of the addiction.
Right.
That will cause the person to go back and to relapse because they don't encourage and or support.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard over the years, "Oh, get over it." Mm-hmm. Pull yourself up. Get out. Go do what you know.
Get out of bed.
Yeah, get out of bed. In fact, ironically enough, I had a woman not too long ago call me, and she was all upset her daughter wouldn't get out of bed. And I said, "Well, how long has she been in?" She says, "She's been in bed 2 days. She won't get out." I said, "Okay." I said, "What do you want?" So I try to pull her out of bed and everything, and we fight and argue. I says, "I tell you what." I said, "You called me. You going to listen to me?" She says, "Yeah, I'll try." I said, "Okay." I said, "Back off. Don't do anything. Don't get her out of bed. No, leave her alone." I says, "Then stop and think, what would you want her to do when she gets out of bed?" "Well, take a shower and get dressed." "Okay. Let's say she gets out of bed, takes a shower, gets dressed. Now what do you want her to do?" "Come downstairs and eat breakfast and lunch and whatever." "Okay. Let's say she does that. Then what?" "Take the dog for a walk. Get out in the air and fresh air and everything." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, back off. Don't touch. Leave her alone." She calls me up about 4 days later, and she says, "My daughter got out of bed." I said, "Okay. She actually got up and took a shower and got dressed." I says, "Terrific." I says, "Don't push. Back off." She says, "Okay." She says, "I'll let you know if anything happens." So she calls a couple days later. She says, "She came downstairs and we were having breakfast. She says, it was wonderful. That was the first time in, you know, 6-7 weeks. I says, "Okay." I says, "Back off. Don't do anything." She calls me up a few days later. "My daughter's walking a dog and she's taking her 3 times up and down, you know, 2 times a day walking a dog." I says, "You know," I says, "you got to understand, it's not that your daughter didn't want to get out of bed. It's your daughter physically was impossible for her to get out of bed at that point in time." You know, I says, "Mentally, she couldn't do it." I says, "So if it happens again, use this as an example. Just back off. Don't push." I says, "Because sooner or later, she may come around. And if she doesn't, well, then there's other issues we have to face." But, you know, and she, so she was like, you know, the mother was just, you know, ecstatic that her daughter got out of bed and everything. But, you know, it's true. And it's the same thing with, you know, what you're dealing with, you know. I have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we will be back in just a few moments. Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
Hey,
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we are very privileged today to have with us four young ladies from the executive director of Good News Home for Women, Ernestine Winfrey. We have Donna Stefanik, who is on the staff and a counselor for the ladies. And we have a current client and a previous client with us. We'll call the current client Mary and the previous client Marie. Okay. I have just one question for Donna before we go to you ladies. If someone comes to your good news home, what is the procedure? Is there a screening process, or how does that work?
We do a phone screen. They have to call in and say they want help. Then we do almost a mini interview over the phone to see if there's anything that's glaring that we wouldn't be able to accept them. If they're on certain types of meds, or if they had suicidal thoughts or plan or attempt within the last 6 months, we're not a facility that really can manage that level of care. We would have to refer them out to some place that, you know, has a psychiatrist on staff 24/7. But if they pass that portion of it, then we bring them in for face-to-face, and we interview them, ask them some more questions, we drug screen them, we interview them with the nurse to make sure that their mental health and their physical health is appropriate. And then if they pass that, then our doctor reviews all of the stuff that we've done. And when he blesses it and says, yes, you can come in, then we schedule them for a bed.
Okay. Is there a psychiatrist on your staff? Or?
Yes, we have a psychiatrist on staff that looks over our stuff. He's not there physically there 24 hours.
Right, no, but
yes.
Okay. All right. You take insurance, or how is that? How do people pay for this?
Well, we are again in a unique form, supported by the state as well as by churches and individual people. So, no, we do not take insurance, because from our beginning, our philosophy was that a 28-day program wasn't going to work. It wasn't enough time, and at that time, 18 years ago, 28 days was what you got. And today's society, today's environment, you are lucky if you get 5 days or 7 days.
Exactly.
So no, we do not take insurance. Most of our women that come in are unable to work because of their drug addiction, and so they receive general assistance until such time as their treatment process has been completed. We have one bed that is a self-pay, so that if you're receiving disability or Social Security or in some other way are able to fund your the process, then they will pay for that. But it's at a sliding fee scale. And so basically that's how it's funded.
Okay. All right. It's, I was just curious, you know, because some organizations do not take insurance. Some have a sliding scale. I know a couple psychologists who are on a sliding scale that they'll help people that can't afford it. And, you know, I just was curious, you know. Okay. You ladies ready?
Yep.
Okay. We're going to start with you.
Okay.
You're a current client of Good News.
Yes.
Why did you choose Good News for your treatment?
Well, I actually, this isn't my first time in treatment. So I actually looked into this place about 2 or 3 years ago. And I had some legal issues, and it was not my time. So at that point, this was one place that my mom, actually, I have a very supportive family, and that's how I even found out about the place to begin with. But she had given me some information. She called and gave me the information, but at that time I heard about another place in California, and California sounds amazing, especially when, you know, you're not really trying to change anything. So 2 or 3 years ago, that's what I decided to do, and it did not work out. So then this time around, I experienced that place, and that was a completely Christian program. They didn't do steps. They didn't do things like that. Mm-hmm. So when I was deciding this time I was doing it for myself, and I really wanted to take into consideration, like, what was the best place for me. And this place involves the 12 steps, and it is a spiritual program. And being a Christian, and I needed that, I felt like this was the place for me.
Okay.
So, yeah, when I came, it just had that really homey atmosphere, and it wasn't like a hospital type of thing. Mm-hmm. And for me, mm-hmm. I think that's what I needed. I needed to feel more comfortable and able to open up rather than like being grilled in like a hospital.
Trust me, a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is my story, but I'm sure there's a lot of other people like me, which I'm finding out now. Yeah.
How many, if I can ask, how many programs have you been in prior?
This is my third inpatient. I've done, the first one was like the hospital setting, like mm-hmm. nurses, this, that. You had classes, but it was just all writing and nothing like engaging, really. Then the second one was just the Christian program. You had a problem, you went to the Bible, which I do agree with that, but maybe not for everything. I think there's different aspects, especially in the beginning, especially since I do need, you know, meetings and things like that. I think it's important to incorporate anything that can help, mm-hmm. steps, prayer, everything. I think that's important. That's why this is my third one. But I've done outpatient, and really for me, I wasn't ready. And I feel like for the longest time, I know that God closes doors and opens new ones for you. But I think I was just too focused on the closed ones to mm-hmm. realize that there was a door open. And
we
when
all
I heard
get that sometimes, so
yeah. You know. So when I heard Good News Home, I mean, I went through a lot of bad news. So I mean, Good News sounded good to me.
Right.
So.
And you're fortunate because you have your family supporting you.
I am extremely grateful for my family. And that's the other thing with this program is that it's not just about it's not just a personal disease that involves my family. Also, we're all affected.
Sure.
And they have a family program, and it's like a family thing. You know, they come and they have classes. They're taught certain things, and, you know, they go to a 2-hour class before the mm-hmm. family or before the visits, and then we work from there. It's like a growing process for everybody, so that when I'm done here, they can kind of see what I've gone through and work with me, and it's not just me, you know, trying to teach them everything. I have other teachers, which is extremely helpful.
All right, let me ask you something. What is a typical day like for you? In the program.
Yeah.
not when you go home for a visit or anything. In the program, what's a typical day like?
In the program. Well, it's very structured, and I think that's very important, especially for myself. I didn't have structure. I kind of did whatever I wanted to do, woke up whenever I wanted to. So, you know, there's a wake-up time, meal times, class time. And I just think structure is very important because, for me, I need a routine. Mm-hmm. I need to, you know, be consistent with what I'm doing so that when I'm doing things, you know, in a routine, then if something goes off, I can notice certain behaviors. If I put something off, they do everything in the home for a reason, which is very hard in the beginning to understand.
Right.
But I think it's structured. And I mean, there's times like the weekends we do things. We go to different churches to experience different, you know, churches mm-hmm. like Catholic, Christian, and all that. So, I mean, we have our classes, but there's also times like at night we go to different meetings. So we go to NA, we go to AA, and there's even like the Christian programs like at churches. They have different meetings. So it's like we get all this exposure now so that we can see what fits us so that when we do move on, we can make better decisions, which was apparently a problem before.
I don't know. To me, it sounds like some programs, not a lot, but some programs are not structured, and therefore not, you know, many people, not only, you know, like yourself recovering, but my son is schizophrenic. Right now he's doing very well, has his own apartment in Flemington, and, you know, he's actually a month ago got a part-time job at BJ's. handing out cookies and stuff like that. Yeah. When you know, if you ever been to BJ's where they offer you, you know, free stuff.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, try to sell you this stuff, but it's like, so that's what he's doing. But prior to that, he volunteered 4 days a week at the hospital. And it was a challenge to get him to go volunteer at the hospital.
Yeah.
And I finally got him to do it because I volunteer there a day or so a week. And he just didn't want to do something, a no-nothing job at the hospital. And I says, you know, whatever you're doing, you know, they had him first rotating the medication. And he says, Dad, he says, all I got to do is put the old ones in the front. And I said, well, stop and think. If you were in a hospital and you had to get a medication, would you want one that was outcoded? No. Well, that's what you're doing. You're helping people by rotating the medication. I says, they rotate stuff in ShopRite. You know, mm-hmm. canned goods that's got about a four-year life on it, they rotate it. I says, you're just doing the same thing. You know, and he says, you know, you're right. And it, from then, it just like, but it gave him a purpose. It gave him a reason to get up in the morning. It gave him a reason to go out and get the shuttle and go out and go to, you know, get to the hospital and stuff rather than just lay around the house. You know, so I can understand perfectly, you know, what you're saying. And I think you described pretty much how this program is different than the other ones you were in.
Yeah, well, with this one, too, what I like is that it's not just the classes. It's not like, you know, you have a schedule, you do it. The thing is, too, there's a lot of accountability involved in it because, you know, anybody can just go somewhere and if you're late, whatever, it's like here, they'll notice behaviors. That's a big thing because it's like before you even would relapse on a drug or a drink or whatever it is, your behaviors, there's certain things that you do that you might not even notice. So when you go through this process and you're a little off, other people will notice it. So if you're, you know, not waking up at the same time or, right. you know, all of a sudden you skip a meal or you're not engaging in class like usual, the big thing is accountability. And I think even in life, that's huge. You can't just isolate. Sure. Like you need people. And that was my biggest problem because I thought I could figure everything out on my own and I didn't need people.
Right.
But
right.
Apparently that's not the case.
We all need somebody.
Exactly. You know? So I think there's...
Even if it's only one individual, you know, we need somebody.
Yeah.
Know? And I think any of us do. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not reasonable to be going through life by yourself, you know. So it's always nice to know that you got support or have somebody that you can call and say, you know, I still, we don't see each other, but we do by email. Guys I was stationed with over in Nam, you know, and we still write each other emails back and forth. How you doing, Larry? I'm fine. How you doing? You know, how's the tornadoes in Texas? You know, because one of them is down there. And, you know, so it's just, it's nice to know that you have that, you know. Even if you don't see the people, it's somebody you can call. It's somebody you can email or tweet or whatever you do with that stuff that I don't know, that I don't understand, you know. But, no, it is. It's great, you know. And now we're going to Marie. Okay.
Hello.
Hi there. what did you learn at Good News that helped you be successful in your recovery?
Well, upon going there voluntarily 5 years ago, I learned living for real. That's what I learned. I learned as far as loving myself. And they taught me about going inside to get to the root of the issue of the addiction that I had. So I learned a wealth of things that I'm still using to this day from all of the great teaching that I received, the support, a lot of knowledge that I learned. And I mean, being exposed to a variety of different women from different backgrounds, different
sure.
ages. I came in as a middle-aged woman, and just being in that environment, and like Mary said, it's a home environment, so you can be comfortable, and you are allowed to open up and, mm-hmm. and really make the most out of the program. I went there determined to have a better life, so my mind was made up. I surrendered my soul to Jesus, and I said, please, I'm ready now. And by the time my feet hit the ground at the Good News Home for Women, I knew instantly I would never be the same. And he changed me right there in front of everyone 5 years ago. And I'm still standing tall.
That's awesome. That's awesome, mm-hmm. really. What do you do to protect yourself from relapsing?
What I do, I my relationship with Jesus Christ has increased immensely. I have my church home here.
Okay.
I decided that once my time was up at the Good News Home for Women that I would remain here, and I have. And I think having a sense of knowing where the addiction came from and knowing that that's the kind of life that you used to live and you don't want to go back to that. So it's basically, for me, it was living in darkness and living in denial. And once I was given the tools that I got from the Good News Home, and also with the mercy and grace of God, that keeps me solid because I know that I never want to go back there. So my mind is made up, and I know that I have to give God the glory to keep me strong and clean
okay.
every day. So for me, it's just a mindset. It's a mindset that you've made up in your mind and in your heart that you want to live right and you want to have the best life possible, and you want to be an example for someone else.
Sure. So. Sure, absolutely.
And I look in the mirror every day, and I'm my own testimony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, I think it's awesome, personally, you know, to hear success stories, you know. And you're a success story, too. Mm-hmm. Believe
yes.
me, Mary, you are.
Yes.
Because you're there.
Yes.
Okay? You're not on the street somewhere. You're not, anyway, you're there. And that's a success right there. Because that takes a hell of a lot of guts, excuse me, mm-hmm. to do that. Okay? I was a addictive smoker for many years, and I can't tell you how many times I quit. You know, I'd quit on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, I'd be back smoking again. You know, or I'd quit on my birthday, and by my the night of my birthday, I'd be back smoking again. But they put me on a operating table, turned me upside down, scraped my vocal cords. From polyps on my vocal cords, and told me that was the only time they could do it. After that, they would have to take them out. And then I'd be talking through a hole in my throat, and I said, with my big mouth, that's not going to happen. No way is that going to happen. So I quit. And I haven't smoked in almost 25 years. So, but I do know if somebody today would light up a Marlboro in here, I'd have to leave.
That's right.
Because I know I have a very addictive personality. That's why I don't go to Atlantic City or Bethlehem, PA, or wherever the casinos are. Because I know me, you know. And I somebody, like I said, Marlboro is what I used to smoke. Started out with Camels, but I switched to Marlboro and smoked Marlboro for many, many, many years. Somebody lights a Marlboro up, I have to walk. I cannot stay there because I know I would be addicted again. You know, I'd be back one puff and I'd be back smoking again. But I can appreciate, and that's not as, to me, that's not as serious as either an alcohol or drug addiction
that's
that you guys have faced.
That is just as serious. And we teach the women that anything can be, just what you said, a trigger that'll put you back where you were before.
And
they're taught to identify those triggers. And it's about people, places, and things. Where would you find the Marlboro smell? Would be in the casino. So like, I'm not going to go to the casino.
Right. Well, now it's now you can't smoke anywhere, you
right.
know. But then you used to be able to smoke in malls
anywhere.
And, you know, whatever, and restaurants or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's a little different. You know, it's a little easier now, you know, because you don't have that as frequently as you would, did
right.
back, say, 10 years ago.
And it's still about people, places, and things, and that's
oh, yeah.
what the women are taught.
Absolutely.
And that's how they maintain it, is to constantly remind themselves, these are my triggers, these are the events that could cause me to relapse. What am I going to do different? How am I going to address these
uh-huh.
very same events? Mama died, or grandpa
right.
Went into the hospital, or my baby left home, and whatever. Do I have another behavior I can do? Do I have other feelings I can associate with that so that I don't go into the relapse mode?
Right, right. Marie, when you were decided you wanted to go into Good News, did you have support from friends or family, or
yes.
or was it just you
No, I had support. I have a very loving mother and a very loving daughter who watched me be in denial, because I was one of those functioning addicts where I felt if I'm a professional by day, no one's going to know what I do by night. So it's like you're living a double life. And then finally, I was like, I don't even like doing this. Why am I doing this? And I kept saying, God's going to get the glory here. He's going to get the glory. So finally, one day, my daughter said, you have to get some help, Mommy, get some help. And I said, you're right. And I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, running a property, doing property management, doing accounting. And I found a faith-based place. It had to be faith-based. And then she said to me, she was in Jersey, she said, no, I found a place called the Good News Home for Women in Flemington, New Jersey, and that's where you're is going. And I said, you know what, Tamika? I will go there, and when I'm done, I will stay in Flemington. And that's how I got there. And a beautiful young lady, the intake lady, she worked with me for 30 days. She said, you got from August 1st to September 1st to get in here, doing all my paperwork, all the phone thing. I mean, for 30 days, and she got me in. And by the grace of God, I walked on that property September 7th, 2010, from Charlotte, North Carolina.
I happen to know Charlotte pretty well.
Love
yeah.
Charlotte.
Yeah, it's a nice area.
Yes, it's a beautiful place.
But if someone... Donna, if somebody wanted information about Good News, is there an email or a telephone number they would call?
We have a website. That's
okay.
goodnewshome.org, and you can reach us on 908-806-4220, and you would reach a live body. We answer the phone. Our intake person will be able to answer any questions about the process or paperwork or anything that needs to happen.
Okay. Why don't you give that phone number again?
908-806-4220.
Okay. I understand from Robin, I may be mistaken now, but you guys have some kind of a fundraiser or something coming up?
Yes, we do.
Oh, you want to talk about it?
Most definitely.
Oh, see that?
All golfers out there, come on. Sign up and come and play. It's a fun day, May the 18th. I think that's Monday. Monday, May the 18th, starting at 8:30 at Beaverbrook Country Club. That's right up on 31 near 78. It's just a fun day.
Golf?
They're prizing. Oh, yes. They really play golf. They keep telling me that I'm going to be the team captain, but I don't even know how to hold the darn stick.
Neither do I, so don't feel bad.
But we will have a testimony and dinner or lunch and prizes.
Is it free will or is it a set amount, or how does that work?
There is a set amount, and I think it's $250.
Okay.
We had an early registration, but that's passed.
God bless you.
Thank you.
But if someone wanted to just say they didn't have $250 and they didn't want to play golf because they're like
they don't know how to play golf. They can come.
Could they just make a donation?
Yes, they can. They make a donation to the home.
And what would they make it out to?
Good News Home for Women.
Good News
yes.
Home for Women?
Yes.
Okay. And is there an address they would send it to?
33 Bartles Corner Road in Flemington, New Jersey, 08822. Attention Robin Jackson, and put on the memo golf outing.
Okay. Donna, why don't you give the address again?
It's 33 Bartles Corner Road, Flemington, New Jersey, 08822.
Okay. And a phone number?
908-806-4220.
Okay. In our closing minutes, Marie, anything you want to add?
Well, I would just like to add, for anyone that's listening, please take into consideration the Good News Home for Women. You will not be disappointed. If you go there with an open heart and sincerely want to change, you can do it there. I did it.
Okay.
I just wanted to thank Ms. Ernestine and my counselor because I just feel like this is my time and I'm just ready to change, and I feel like I am changing, and I'm just grateful for everything. It's like one thing after another, and just to see life in itself as a miracle instead of nothing, I think that's a blessing. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
How long is the program? I mean, if someone comes in today, okay. Does it vary, or
it varies? Well, really, it varies on the individual. I mean, if they're going to continue to be willing and they want to keep doing it, I've been in here for about a little over 5 months.
Okay.
And I'm getting to the point where I'm kind of getting comfortable. Maybe I don't know. Actually, I don't even know if I. It's nice there. I'm staying for the long haul. So, but I think as long as you're willing, there's always something you can get out of it. Even if it's a class that you've already had, you're going to hear something that you haven't heard before.
Right.
I just think as long as you get what you put into it, you know, if you're willing to change, and it's like with anything, really, you just got to do it. You just got to want it. So, okay. Even if you come in and you don't really want it, if you just open up your ears and shut your mouth, you know, you're going to get something. So, as far as how long the program goes, I think it could be up to 2 years, but, I think they're just willing to help. So if you need whatever time you need, they're going to give it to you. So
let me ask you, Donna, if a person relapses, okay, how do they get back in a program, or do they get back in a program?
If they want to get back into our program, they'd have to call us and start the process again and say,
start all over from day one.
I need help.
Okay.
But certainly, they can walk into any meeting, any AA or NA meeting, and start all over again, doing another 90 and 90, and, you know, reaching out to their sponsor. What we try to do with our women is make sure that they have those resources available to them before they leave. They go out on passes with a sponsor to set up that network so that they have support outside of just the Good News Home.
All right. Now, when you say they have your women have sponsors, right, where did the sponsors come from? The AA, NA thing? Like when they would
when they get to a certain point in our program and we determine that they're getting close to getting out of the program, we allow them to start networking in the meetings where they ask other women for their numbers, and they try to identify a sponsor. And then when they identify a sponsor, the sponsor can come to the Good News Home, pick them up, and take them to meetings.
Okay.
So that they start to build that relationship and make that stronger before
they
leave.
Right, right. So that they have that, like you said, get stronger before they get discharged, or whatever you call it, released, or whatever the term, you know, graduate, you know, whatever the terminology is. And we you talked about the fundraiser, all right, and that was what day now?
May the 18th.
May 18th.
At Beaverbrook Club.
At Beaverbrook. It was ironic. I was up for, we have four kids, and my second oldest son is married and lives in Alpha, and he had us over with my wife and I over for Mother's Day, and it was my wife's birthday a week before, so, and he was sucking him. My son was never an athlete, you know. He was more like me, always in trouble, you know. But he says, gee, he says, you know, he says, I was golfing at Beaverbrook the, you know, a week or so before. And I looked at him, you were golfing? You know, like you said, did you know which end of the stick to hold, you know? I mean, he says, yeah, he says, it wasn't that bad. He says, we all were terrible. He says, but, you know, it was through his company, you know, where he works. And he says, I might like to try that. And I'm looking at him like, you would like to try that? Really? You
know, and invite him down. Call him up and tell him he could come down. We have some inexperienced people that are still playing. And like I say, it's so much fun. There are contests. Some of the teams are competitive for the last 5 years with one another to see who's the best dressed golfer, who does the longest shot. And, you know, and of course, Mr. Kellifer.
From the Ford
Motor Company. The Auto Land is what I call them.
Right.
Have given us a car for someone who gets the hole in one.
Wow.
And we're always looking for golfers to come, you know. They might do it, you know.
Yeah, well, you might do it.
No. I have to pick up the stick first at the right end, first of all. But I'm on the course, you know. I go riding around and encouraging the golfers. And
oh, you ride around in a little cart. Yeah. Got it. Well, that's what I said to my son. I said, did you walk? He says, what are you, crazy? You know? He says, we were riding around in a cart. I wasn't carrying all that stuff. But it's, do you find, I have to ask, Marie, do you find that, how long have you been out of Good News now?
September will be 5 years.
Okay, 5 years. Mm-hmm. Do you find any days or time or period like holidays or Christmas or birthdays or whatever, where it gets a little tough to get through the day?
I would say it's a daily process, but the first 3 years I would say it was, you know, it was more distinct there. But I think as the years go by, you know, I'm determined. So it's like,
I think that means a lot.
Yes, it does. And you know, so for me, I don't want to say it's so far removed, but when you know you've been delivered, you know, you're just in a different spot. You know what I mean? And it could happen any day, but I know what was done for me, and I take it very serious that it was a gift of a second life. Right. So I'm in a whole different frame of mind there. I'm stronger now.
Yeah. Okay. You know? I can understand
but
that.
But I would never say, oh, it couldn't happen. But I'm determined that I know how bad it was and how great my life is now, that I wouldn't jeopardize or compromise that for anything or anyone.
Right. That's
but
awesome.
But it's a daily process that you just know. You know that you got a second chance at life, and you and you want to get it right this time. And I'm a middle-aged lady now, so this is it.
Hey, you're kind of young. Compared to me, you're all young.
Thank you. But it's a daily renewal of your mind, making, you know.
Right.
Just having that determination.
But it just, you know, I think it's awesome. And I, you know, Mary, I think it's awesome with you also that, you know, you had, this is the third time, and this one seems to be working, and hopefully it will continue to work. You know, it's something you have to, like you said, Marie, your mind has to be, I'm going to do it. I don't care. I'm going to do it, you know. And, you know, I think that it's tough, all right? And I really respect the fact that, you know, you're going, taking this course, you know. I really do.
Yeah, I think just real quick, I don't think it sometimes matters whatever gets you to that point to realize that you need help, but at some point you have to want to do it for yourself because you can't do it for anybody else. Right. And I've heard that so many times, and it just seemed like cliche. I was just like, whatever. But you don't get it until you get it.
Right.
You know, once you
absolutely
know that this is for you and it's not for anybody else, there's really no other way to describe it except for that way. You know, you got to want it for yourself, and that's the truth.
Well, I really appreciate you all coming today. I can't tell you how much I love hearing it, you know. Yeah, now you ain't got to talk anymore because the microphone went up to the sky, but that's okay. It's over. I mean, I have to put the news on anyway, so it's over. Don't worry about it, Mary. You know? But thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for coming, and I will have you back again.
Thank you.
I really will.
I will enjoy it.
We've been doing this for over I've been doing it over 3 years now, and I will have you back. Won't be 3 years, but I'll have you, definitely have you back.
Well, you have to come back for our next fundraising event at any rate, you know, so we can talk about how people in the community can help.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you all again, and I appreciate it, and good luck, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. A young couple was killed when a tornado hit their mobile home in the town of Nashville, Arkansas. A line of twisters also battered North Texas over the weekend, causing at least two deaths and a lot of damage. Meteorologist Roger Edwards.
There were also tornadoes yesterday in parts of Iowa, South Dakota, as well as central and north central Texas. There was a tornado near Denton, Texas, that several spotters saw that did some roof and structural damage.
Eight people are still missing near Van, Texas. A public memorial will be held today in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, for two young city police officers. 25-year-old LaCorey Tate and 34-year-old Benjamin Dean were gunned down during a routine traffic stop, according to Mayor Johnny Dupree.
We ought to be all elated at this time that we, within hours, found the people who did this.
And the three accused have an initial court appearance today. This is USA Headline News.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression. Or a bad one, for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-Second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month working from home with their own home-based business. All you'll need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We'll teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondusa.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondusa.com. That's 7secondusa.com.
Secretary of State John Kerry will meet tomorrow with his Russian counterpart in Sochi to discuss